information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Tonight we care.
Appear to border
and it shows.
The law.
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
We cannot undo what has been done, but we can make amends. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 185 of Media Monarchy. It's September 3rd, 2010. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, News Purge 9/11, Terabyte and Extradite, P-Power, Vaccine Zombie, Inside Job and Blasphemy Rituals, Food Raids, Farm Wars, Shield Laws and Cyborgs, Body Scanners, Biometrics, GPS and Amsterdam Arrest, plus the Discovery Shooter, the Ghost Yacht, Katrinaversary, Obamasiah Turns the Page and Escalates. It's September 3rd, 2010. This is episode 185 from MediaMonarchy.com. Chaos. Oh, the chaos is everywhere, but what's that got to do with us? And that's what we ask each week here on Media Monarchy. That was the Futureheads with the title track from their latest record, The Chaos. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to wherever you are. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show at MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. It's September 3rd, 2010, and this is the 185th episode from MediaMonarchy.com, and we have so much to go over this week. But as always, we are broadcasting live from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, live every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. And of course, thanks to all the great affiliates that rebroadcast MediaMonarchy.com, and especially those who carry the show live, like the worldwide home of free speech, RevereRadio.net, and the fine folks at ZeroPointRadio.com, streaming live worldwide on ZeroPointRadio.com. You can also get Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero there. But they also broadcast in Casper, Wyoming on 92.3 FM and 1670 AM. So going out live on the terrestrial airwaves, thanks to them, is amazing. Thanks to Free Radio Olympia 98.5 FM and Olympia, Washington, frolympia.org for rebroadcasting Media Monarchy. Berkeley Liberation Radio.net 104.1 FM in Berkeley, California. OneSkyRadio.com 90.7 FM in Kasilof, Alaska. 89.9 FM Patriot Radio in La Mesa, Texas. And of course, thanks to my man Jeff at Radio23.org, making the high quality episodes of Media Monarchy available for you. Rebroadcast, they are the 192, the high quality stuff. Which I think segues into the first thing I want to mention for you is that in the last closing hours of August, I put together the fifth installment in the Media Monarchy mixtape series, and we call this one Radio Sweetheart. Tons of just sweet super pop music, 21 songs, 1 hour. Fred Astaire, Stereolab, The Drums, Elastica, Velvet Underground, CeeLo, Nico Case, Prince, Polyphonic Spree, and tons more. That is only available in the high quality. I think I learned my lesson making a low-quality version of a mixtape. It just doesn't work with music. So I hope you dig that, and as we say on the mixtapes, it can't be news and politics all the time. But with the way things going, it's just seemingly most of the time. If we look at Google News on this September 3rd morning, as we head into Labor Day weekend, Earl may not be a hurricane when it reaches Massachusetts. Obama promising new economic proposals next week. Riskier markets get boost from jobs report. Those are the three top stories on Google News right now. I see nothing about the latest oil rig explosion in the Gulf of Mexico. We'll get a little bit into that. But I should also mention, just quickly, any of the ways you can get in touch. Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, YouTube, Ustream, Blip.tv, Cafe Press. Contact MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. News tips, anything. I appreciate it. I can't respond to everything, but everything is really, really appreciated. Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, Archive.org. Again, just kind of building the redundancies and putting the videos and putting the audio and putting the podcast and putting them and just spreading it all around. That's the name of the game. And one of the best ways, I think, that I'm able to do that, and I'm lucky enough and proud to be involved in The New World Next Week, my weekly video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. NewWorldNextWeek.com has the high-quality episodes for you. You can burn them off. They look great. And again, for folks who are never going to listen to a two-hour podcast, a nice, short, three-story, succinct video No fear-mongering. No infighting. None of the Patriot games. And again, I'm so glad to be involved in that. Our latest episode for September 2nd, our 45th episode, we go over things we are, I believe, going to go over all of in this episode, and that would be the new 9/11 videos, the Predator drones on the border, and the Gates and Monsanto connections. So again, newworldnextweek.com. Please help spread those episodes. They get tons of views, and more views than I get for many of just media monarchy things that I do. But I feel like they should and could get even more. Related to that is the latest Sunday update video from CorbettReport.com, JFK Truth, Drug War, and the People Strike Back, a special good news episode of Sunday Update, as Corbett Report was on a hiatus last week, but I believe this weekend, it'll start spilling out at some point this weekend. CorbettReport.com has an amazing 9-year anniversary 9/11 episode. So many interviews, I can't even mention that he's been working on over the last several weeks. So we anxiously await that, and again, we want to kind of, as I maybe kick off the weekend here, remind you about the mixtape and the coming up 9/11 anniversary special. Two very different things, but again, don't hate the media, become the media. So that first story we cover on the latest newworldnextweek.com is the first thing we're going to hit as we start down all the ugly headlines. The news purge, all the chaos is everywhere. We'll start with our latest 9/11 updates. And again, now, folks, just, what, 8 days away from the 9th anniversary of the catalyzing catastrophic event that changed everything. The new Pearl Harbor just had been called for and predicted. But an amazing story, and I'll just briefly do this, and again, just direct you back to newworldnextweek.com, where we go over this in much greater detail. But the International Center for 9/11 Studies secured the release of hundreds of hours of video footage and tens of thousands of photographs used by NIST for its investigation into the collapse of the Twin Towers in Building 7. The materials being released to the center under a FOIA/lawsuit against NIST. Now, they've only just begun to put a lot of this info out. It's tens of thousands of photographs, hundreds of hours of video. It's 3+ terabytes of information. And there's a site set up, and as they note still at the top, I just checked it a few moments ago, 911datasets.org is where I believe they're going to host and sort of sift and analyze all of this data as they start to process it. They've got about 14 videos, I believe, on their YouTube channel. And this is a mass amount of data. Will we find new things? Will we not find anything? Will we just confirm what we already knew? And that, of course, the buildings are suspicious as hell. And there's already evidence that NIST had been editing footage of Building 7. And we'll say, Building what? BuildingWhat.org? Building 7? Clear editing done on the videos. But the last thing I'll say about this, and again, this is going to be something that's only going to pour out, I believe, as the days go by, days and weeks go by. Think of this as a WikiLeaks NIST war diary, if you will. I sure would like to see terabytes of information come out about P-TECH software being run on sensitive intelligence network and other computers on 9/11, run by a designated international terrorist, knowingly. The war games, the drills, the insider trading. I'd like to see terabytes of that kind of information come out. Because, again, as we always kind of say on here, we are extremely pro 9/11 truth. 9/11 would be the event that got me into paying more attention to the shell game that's been going on. But it's always the buildings that get all of the attention. And it seems to keep the discussion in that realm. And in a way, it keeps that discussion in the speculative realm, just as we're still arguing about, could Oswald have made the shots? Did they find the Mauser first, or was it the Mannlicher Carcano? And all those things are gone. It's all been either tampered or destroyed or set in stone. But we can debate about it forever. It doesn't get at the intelligence networks. That's what we have to get at. People with names and jobs and assignments. So again, all these things coming from 911blogger.com, 911datasets.org, again, set to go live to start to sift and analyze all this information, and Paul Joseph Watson asking the question we already know the answer to, did NIST edit WTC7 footage? Now, an interesting story that I believe we covered some time ago, and I couldn't tell you when, we'd have to dig back into the archives. But just the quick thumbnail sketch before we give you the clip from Press TV to flesh this out. There was a guy named Kurt Sonnenfeld. He was a videographer for FEMA on Ground Zero. He fled to Argentina, and now the U.S. is trying to extradite him on the claims that he murdered his ex-wife. Now, that's the story, and all of the details. Did he leave before he was wanted, or I don't exactly know. But here's Press TV talking to Kurt Sonnenfeld, 9/11 FEMA videographer.
An American cameraman who says September 11th was a lie faces extradition from Argentina to the United States on alleged murder charges. Press TV's Melissa Avala reports.
Argentina is rallying support for a September 11 cameraman facing extradition to the United States. Kurt Sonnenfeld, an American who was granted provisory refugee status 7 years ago, is wanted by the US government on murder charges. Sonnenfeld is the only cameraman that filmed the crucial images of Ground Zero in New York after the Twin Towers collapsed. He still has the 22-hour footage that the U.S. authorities want.
I promised to give my footage to the big investigators, the credible and widely known investigators, who will be able to detect anomalies that I or other people without scientific education might miss. With that in mind, I hope that there are many things that they can discover that disprove the current official story of what happened.
Sonnenfeld, who lives in Buenos Aires with his Argentine family, says the footage proves that 9/11 was a lie. He says he now fears for his life if he is sent back to the United States to face trial. The Denver police say they have overwhelming evidence that proves he killed his first wife in the U.S.
He is a fugitive from the law. He is a fugitive from the Denver Police Department. We're looking for him.
A number of social organizations say the Denver police are lying and that Argentina should grant refugee status to Sonnenfeld.
We are asking the government to give refugee status to Kurt and stop his extradition to the U.S. We'll stop his extradition and ensure that he will get refugee status in Argentina.
The Sonnenfelds say they are under police surveillance and that their phone has been tapped.
They tried to step on Argentinian sovereignty several times. It's completely unfair. My husband is a wonderful person, he's a wonderful father, and he doesn't deserve this just because he was working for his government.
Sonnenfeld claims his videotapes prove top U.S. government officials had prior knowledge of the 2001 terrorist attacks. For the same reason, he says, he is the victim of a U.S. plot to silence his 9/11 conspiracy theory. Sonnenfeld's fate now rests in the hands of the Argentine justice system.
With no decision date set, it's going to be an anxious wait for the family. Melissa Avalo, Press TV.
Now, as we continue our 9/11 updates, we hop to 911truthnews.com. Think Tank calls for infiltration of 9/11 sites. A new report released by a think tank called Demos, and that's DEMOS.co.uk, warns of the hazardous effects of conspiracy theories on society and recommends strategies for governments to mitigate these effects, including the infiltration of websites. The report, called The Power of Unreason, Conspiracy Theories, Extremism, and Counterterrorism, says, quote, most notoriously and influentially, the 9/11 truth movement has questioned the official accounts of 9/11 has become a large and growing political force, end quote. The authors note that the 9/11 truth movement is peaceful, but of course make no distinction between the legitimate questioning of the official account of 9/11 and any number of other unrelated and often racist conspiracy theories. We've got the PDF link for you. You can download the whole report. And of course, this ties into, and the report even cites, the writings of Cass Sunstein, Obama appointee, InfoZar, openly called for cognitive infiltration of 9/11 truth groups. Change. A new article from Jerry Mazza on onlinejournal.com goes into the story we fully exposed last week, and that would be the Ground Zero mosque hysteria as a fabricated, overblown event. Ground Zero mosque funding leads, of course, back to the Council on Foreign Relations and also leads back to directly the heads of Fox News. So again, go back to episode 184 where we go all through that. Again, it's a shell game, playing both ends against the middle, getting us all frothing mad at each other. So whether it's at the border, whether it's at the church, or never looking up above at the multi-generational serial killers who have been doing this to us for the last hundred or few years. I know, it's longer, but... but in this article, what I'm basically trying to say, this Jerry Mazza article, Ground Zero Mosque Funding Leads to CFR, cites repeatedly the work of CorbettReport.com. Hat tip. Our last note is a three-part video that we don't have time to get into, but it is excellent, and it's quite pertinent for, again, where we are 8 days out from the 9th anniversary. KennySideshow.blogspot.com gets into the real story on pre-9/11 history. And all of those things that, again, we kind of forget as the weeks and years go by. All these things that we knew, and that we knew in advance, and the warnings that were there. So even the limited hangout is that, well, maybe they knew something was going to happen, but maybe they sat on their hands. Then, you know, we had our president the other night during his speech, which we'll, again, get to in this episode. Patting old Bush on the back. Heck of a job, Bush. Mission accomplished. Turn the page. But I digress, don't I? Let's move to the latest BioWars EnviroHealth updates that, again, I mentioned top of Google News would seem to be no mention. Offshore oil rig explodes in Gulf of Mexico. Here's the initial report that I have from ABC News. An explosion on an offshore oil platform in the Gulf of Mexico early September 2nd ignited a fire that caused workers to evacuate into the water, but the U.S. Coast Guard said that all the workers survived and there are no oil leaks reported near the platform. The cause of the explosion, not yet known. 13 workers photographed floating in the ocean waiting to be rescued have been accounted for. The fire's out. No reports of visible sheen in the water. There are no reports of leaks, but we continue to investigate. Always watching the jargon and the memes that we start to use, and euphemistic language, as Carlin would call it. But the latest I can grab for you, and I had to go search it just a few moments ago while we were listening to the Kurt Sonnenfeld clip, but we grabbed from the Telegraph, oil sheen disappears following latest Gulf explosion. This was 7:30 a.m. British time this morning. An offshore oil platform that exploded in the Gulf of Mexico appeared to be showing no signs of oil spillage hours after there were reports of a mile-long sheen in the water. So is it or isn't it? But as long as we're talking Gulf oil spill, DatelineZero.com, of course, reminds us that there will be no BP investigation because the Senate blocked it. And guess who that connects to? The recently deceased Ted Stevens of Alaska. Our last note about the BP oil spill from FloridaOilSpillLaw.com. Tests find Sicken family has 50.3 parts per million of Corexit in their swimming pool. And I believe the article goes into how far away they are and just showing, again, the obfuscation about this story and the lies and the cover-up that, again, if you didn't pay attention and you just listen to the news in the background, you listen to your local news that's just running corporate government press releases just like the national news are, and they just do their own voiceover over top of it, you would think the Gulf oil spill totally cleaned up. You'd think the Iraq war completely done. Turn the page. Like it's some storybook record that I used to have. When you hear this sound, beep boop beep boop, boop wow, turn the page. Nothing to see here. Here's one for you. Golfer starts California wildfire. If you heard about the recent California wildfire, it was started by a golfer who chipped it into the woods and in trying to get it back out, caused sparks with his swing and started a massive wildfire. As if we needed more reasons to hate golf courses on a number of levels. Yes, they're pristine and beautiful, but they're for rich elites. And I imagine at some point, very soon, the not elites might take them over. So speaking of good news, we'll get this from Yahoo News out of India. Urine-powered fuel cell to offer pee power to the people. This could literally be called pee power to the people. Researchers figured out a way to make the world's first urine-powered fuel cells. Chemistry postdocs Shanwen Tao and Rong Lan at Heriot Watt University School of Engineering and Physical Sciences in Edinburgh are turning pee into electricity and clean water with a prototype fuel cell system. I had heard about pee power for robots, but not pee power for everyone. While fuel cells usually rely on flammable hydrogen gas or toxic methanol to generate electricity, Dow and Land's cheaper prototype relies instead on urea, an organic chemical compound produced as waste when the body metabolizes protein. These innovations are available. They've been around. If we could break the stranglehold of the corporatism, these are the things that people would and could and have used for millennia. Not necessarily this kind of advancement, but again, these are the kind of advancements that can happen if you have an actual kind of free market. You know, if you would actually be granting patents instead of the 7-year backlog that we talked about a couple weeks ago. There is no free market. It is corporatism. The corporations have taken over the state. But I digress. Pee power. U.S. birth rate lowest in history. I guess this goes right along with the recent Corbett Report episode about the underpopulation explosion. With so many Americans struggling to get by, the U.S. has experienced a drop in births for the second year in a row to the lowest level in the nation's history. U.S. birth rate fell in 2009 to 13.5 per 1,000, a marked decline from 2007 when the rate was 14.3 and more babies were born in the U.S. than any other year in its history. In 1820, the earliest year for which full statistics are available, the birth rate was 55 per 1,000. Oh, but there's too many people. And again, we just think of the intro of Idiocracy. IDF to release updated chemical attack treatment handbook. Yes, that's a little bit of a right turn, but again, we're going through our BioWars and EnviroHealth updates. So again, I try and put the news together in a way that will flow throughout the show and things will kind of make sense and not be too disjointed. But again, it's kind of impossible, and especially when there's new data points coming in as I'm producing the show. But as we always say, Everything is laid out for you on the website. If you're only using one and not the other, you're missing half. New York legislators want chickens vaccinated. That would be all chickens vaccinated. More on that from the Associated Press. Now, as we get more into this, we'll see what this all kind of connects back to. And that would be depopulation, eugenics. And who's the number one name in that, essentially? That would be the Rockefellers. So a few different articles. But there's a great posting that has basically three articles put on one page. It's a long page, but it's quite convenient, on the long-time Rockefeller depopulation plans. Part one is called Rockefeller Foundation Developed Vaccines for, quote, mass-scale fertility reduction. Part two, global distribution of Rockefeller-funded anti-fertility vaccine coordinated by the World Health Organization. These articles are, of course, full of sources and links. Massive amounts. And I couldn't even find where part three is as I scrolled and scrolled. But in addition to these vaccines that we just mentioned, of course, the Rockefeller Foundation presents anti-fertility genetically modified food for widespread use. These are the things that folks think are insane, made-up conspiracy theories. But if you watch television, if you watch anything, if you read the paper, if you listen to the government press releases, these things are all completely documented. And again, what we'll get into and what we get into in the latest New World next week with the connections from Monsanto, and that would be the GM food, to Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and their connection to flying syringes and the Norway Doomsday Seed Vault. They all trace back to eugenics. They all trace back to good birth. The elites are better. We will run positive eugenics on ourselves, which doesn't really work, because of course they tried it and they all turned inbred. The Wedgwoods, the Huxleys, the Galtons, the Darwins. Meanwhile, running negative eugenics on the rest of us useless eaters, as Ted Turner calls us. The way we're going to close out our BioWars EnviroHealth updates is a cool song and video from naturalnews.com. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, runs a fantastic site. It's only getting bigger and bigger as time goes by. They've now launched naturalnews.tv, and that is where you can go find naturalnews.com's Vaccine Zombie.
Standing in line for the vaccine shot. I hope I get mine, cause believe it or not, I think I might die, guess I take what they got. My body's too dry, so I give it no thought, no thought. Because the FDA said it's safe for me. The drug companies claim that it's made for me. And the government, they're gonna pay for me. It's not too late for me. Is it? Now it's my turn to be injected. They say it's gonna hurt, but I'll be protected. I really give the word, I do as I'm directed. I'm not the kind of person to do something unexpected. I do everything the doctors tell me. Swallow all those pills they sell me. I'm afraid that drugs might kill me. Vaccine zombie, zombie. I forgot how to think for myself, yeah. I don't understand a thing about health, yeah. I do the same as everyone else. I'm a vaccine zombie, zombie.
Do you hear? It's getting closer.
When I took the shot, did my face turn blue? I started feeling hot inside, but I didn't have a clue what to do. My temperature was 102, and my nutsack shriveled up and fell off too. The nurse screamed, said something was missing. She called the physician, he said he had a suspicion that the vaccine caused a neurological condition. And soon, I would see the mortician.
They started cutting out my brain, happy as can be. Bunch of undead doctors, but from the CDC, I finally figured out what happened to me. When they said we got another vaccine zombie.
Step one, remove your brain. Step two, replace with zombie vaccine. Step three, watch television for further instructions from the Centers for Zombie Control.
I do
everything the doctors tell me. Swallow all those pills they sell me. I'm afraid that germs might kill me. Vaccine zombie, zombie. I forgot how to think for myself, yeah. I don't understand a thing about health, yeah. I do the same as everyone else. I'm a vaccine zombie, yeah. I always do it as requested. Like the media covertly suggested. You guessed it, I finally gave in and confessed it. I'd like to have my body and my brain medically molested. Don't wanna be arrested, so I don't protest it. I give another pint of blood just to test it. I'm not taking those herbs, I digest it. Just give me more drugs, gonna be ingested. Cause I'm a sucker for the ass, a sucker for the lab, a sucker for the swine flu jabs. And I don't mind following the medical fad. Cause living without a brain ain't half bad. Come and play, come and play, come and play, come and play in my vaccine lottery. You're gonna pay, you're gonna pay, cause the vaccine makes more profit than vitamin D. Listen up, the big pharma vaccine ain't even safe. They stick it in your arm, do a permanent harm. They treat you like a medical slave. You're not afraid of invisible germs. I'm not afraid of parasites and worms. Well, I'm afraid of seasonal flu. I'm afraid of having sex with you. I'm afraid of my children's chicken pox. I'm afraid of my roommate's dirty socks. I believe all the news that's on television. I believe the official 9/11 commission. Those herbs are real, real quack for me. I get my food from my fast food factory. I got my psych drugs, they're talking back to me. My medical myths are like fact to me. Cause everything I know came from TV. Everything they say at the CDC is true. You see, you have to agree with the words of a vaccine zombie.
Vaccine Zombie from Mike Adams and naturalnews.tv. Again, a great way to help spread this kind of information. Moving down the ugly headlines, the chaos is everywhere. We get to our EconoCrash headlines, and we move to allgov.com to meet the only new bank to open this year. Banks by the hundreds have been closing in recent years during the recession and the weak economic recovery. Again, euphemistic language for controlled demolition of a fake economy, fiat currency, and private central banks. The tough climate has made it difficult for new financial institutions to get off the ground. In fact, only one new federally insured bank has opened its doors so far in 2010 throughout the entire United States, and it's in a used double-wide trailer. Lakeside Bank in Lake Charles, Louisiana, which opened on July 26, is run by Hardy Spence, former Louisiana State football player who came out of retirement at age 70. He was brought in by local real estate developer Andrew Vachive, who raised $13 million in capital to start the bank. The bank's investors hope Lakeside does not go the way of the 280 small banks and thrifts that have gone out of business since January 08. There are now less than half as many banks and thrifts as there were in 84. Lately, the Lake Charles economy has been boosted by Casino, a new factory that makes parts for nuclear reactors and the oil and natural gas industry. So, obviously, the bank is going to be a success when it's built on such time-tested, sustainable practices like casinos and oil and nuke reactors. The death of cash. The Economic Collapse blog gets into governments all over the world banning large cash transactions. And just one example from a source that actually I believe I have linked to several times throughout this episode. I forget who. Check, check, check. Technical difficulties. I forget who turned me on to this site, BorderlandBeat.com. Mexico targets laundering with plan to limit cash transactions. And you've already seen the PR for the death of cash. Now, of course, is it more convenient to use cards? Absolutely. But how did it get that way? How are we getting further along that way? Surprise, surprise, Tiny Tim Geithner meets with bloggers, but of course, they are all straight-up corporate bloggers. Like bloggers from the Washington Post and Reuters and Politico. And then, of course, foundation-funded left gatekeepers like Huffington Post and Mother Jones, who, yes, do good work, but again, it all traces back to Carnegie and the Rockefellers and MacArthur and other foundation-funded fronts. Analyst says Citigroup is cooking the books. More on that from foxbusiness.com. Record number in government anti-poverty program. Surprise, surprise. Homelessness up 50% in New York. That's from myfoxny.com. And I believe they pretty much stole the story from someone else. Have they updated it? Yes, they did. Hell'sKitchenLife.com. Existentialist cowboy gets into the conspiracies of rich men to rob you, enslave you, and wage aggressive wars at your expense. Where, of course, all loss is put to the public and all gain is privatized to the banksters, to the elite. Our last Econocrash note is the trailer from a new documentary, which reminds me, as I was even just saying about privatizing the wealth and pushing public the debt. We mentioned last week the new documentary from Danny Schechter called Plunder that is actually available to stream on Netflix. I finished it off. It's well done. It does bring up a lot of good points, but it's also somewhat too lefty, too limited hangout. But it is there for you to watch, and again, I guess I'm somewhat more lenient sometimes when it comes to documentaries and anything that we would kind of cover on MediaMonarchy.com. Even if it's not the greatest in the world, it's probably still better than you watching episodes of God knows what. Because I've watched some God knows what. But there's a new film coming out, and of course this is all major. From the director of No End in Sight, Charles Ferguson, who was nominated for an Oscar, Sony Pictures Classic is putting out Inside Job, the first film to expose the shocking truth behind the economic crisis of 2008, which is not true, but this is just a blurb for the film. Global financial meltdown at a cost of over $20 trillion resulted in millions of people losing their homes and jobs. Through extensive research and interviews with major financial insiders, politicians, and journalists, Inside Job traces the rise of a rogue industry and unveils the corrosive relationships which have corrupted politics, regulation, and academia. Narrated by Academy Award winner Matt Damon, Inside Job, made on location in the U.S., Iceland, England, France, Singapore, and China.
Share prices continued to tumble.
Lehman Brothers was forced to declare itself bankrupt.
The largest single point drop.
The regulators, they had the power to do every case that I made when I was state attorney general. They just didn't want it.
We are watching this tsunami coming.
They were having massive private gains, a public loss.
A financial engineer built dreams. But when those dreams turn out to be nightmares, other people pay for it.
Bear Stearns, Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, they knew what was happening.
What do you think about selling securities which your own people think are crap? Does that bother you
as a hypothetical?
No, this is real.
What do you think of Wall Street incomes these days?
Excessive.
By 1986, he was making millions of dollars and thought it was because he was smart.
Chuck Prince famously said, "We have to dance until the music stops." Actually, the music had stopped already when he said that.
At some point, I used the word Armageddon.
These people are risk takers, they're impulsive. I see a lot of cocaine use, prostitution.
So do these guys know that they were doing something dangerous?
I think they did.
I don't hear confessions.
What can we believe in? There's nothing we can trust anymore.
We had a whole group of people looking at this for whatever reason.
You can't be serious. If you would have looked, you would have found things.
It's a Wall Street government.
Why do you think there isn't a more systematic investigation being undertaken?
Because then you'll find the culprits.
I don't believe I have to discuss that with you.
You come to us today telling us we're sorry, we won't do it again.
trust us. Well, I have some people in my constituency that actually robbed some of your banks. And they say the same thing.
I never heard him mention those things.
Could we turn this off for a second?
No, we can't. Inside job, and if you go watch the video, you may not have caught it in just listening to the audio, but in the number of course experts that they talk to, you may have heard George Soros in there about dancing till the music stops. George Soros, convicted financial criminal. He funds some of our aforementioned Left Gatekeeper Limited Hangout sites. Deeply involved in the shell game that we see going on in the world. He's even implicated in selling people out to the Nazis. These are the kind of people that we're dealing with. And of course, when we're talking Wall Street, it of course always inevitably links back to Germany and the Nazis. The Rockefellers and Standard Oil and IBM and IG Farben and Bayer, Coca-Cola, Ford, Disney, on and on and on. They're all connected. So this film, Inside Job, while I'm sure does contain good information and I'm sure will rile people up and probably soften them up for whatever sort of global regulations we need. We need more one world currency. We need more control. Then we'll make sure this will never happen again if you just give us more control this time. Not the first film to explode that. I'd like to say, first film fully I saw exposing the controlled demolition of the economy. There's a little documentary called 2020 Hindsight, Censorship on the Front Line. My man Richard Grove of TragedyandHope.com, PeaceRevolution.org, exclusively available through MediaMonarchy.com, CorbettReport.com, GnosticMedia.com, Maria.net, DeadlineLive.info. Your donation to alternative media outlets is what keeps this information going and what lets us continue to do these kind of data mining and analysis just to try and make sense of all this. Again, I ain't the smartest guy in the world. I'm just trying to figure all this stuff out, but it doesn't take very long to realize that shit's rotten in Denmark. Let's quickly get through our geopolitics updates, which these all kind of sound like they could fit under our murder and mayhem heading. But we, of course, covered briefly, and unfortunately it's going to have to be briefly again, but do you remember the British spy that we covered last week who was found dead in a duffel bag? Dead codebreaker was linked to NSA intercept case. Top British codebreaker found mysteriously dead last week in his flat had worked with the NSA and British intelligence to intercept email messages that helped convict would-be bombers in the UK. Gareth Williams, 31, made repeated visits to the US to meet with the NSA and worked closely with British and US spy agencies to intercept and examine communications that passed between an Al-Qaeda official in Pakistan and three men who were convicted last year of plotting to bomb transcontinental flights. There's even more on the London spy murder from Of Goats and Men, but we've got an interesting one from Cryptogon.com with more from the Washington Post. Roland W. Haas, senior intelligence officer in the U.S. Army Reserve who claimed in a 2007 memoir, which is linked up for us here, claiming that he was a CIA assassin, died over the weekend when he accidentally shot himself. According to an account in the Noonan, Georgia Times Herald, passing motorist saw Haas on the side of the road and heard the pop of a gunshot. Patrolmen soon discovered Haas, 58, lying face down behind his car and pronounced him dead. He shot himself in the femoral artery of his right leg. Now, Cryptogon notes that his pet goat is more likely to be a CIA assassin than this Roland W. Haas. But the other interesting thing to note, bonus coincidence points when we calculate the odds of two suspected bogus spooks called Roland dying of gunshot wounds in a two-year period. That would, of course, be referencing Roland Carnaby, self-proclaimed CIA agent gunned down. Mystery over Russian general found dead on Turkish beach. More on that from The Guardian. 18 nations wrap up mock terror exercises in the Panama Canal. And returning to BorderlandBeat.com, asking the question, what's next after the arrest of Mexican kingpin known as La Barbie? And you can check out his smiling photo. And we'll get more into the border wars in just a few moments. We're going to move to our holy hexes. That's one of our latest categories where we discuss religious themes and the occult and just some of the strange goings-on in our sort of strange pop occulture world. But the latest from Stephen Hawking, of course, warning us that, yes, aliens are out there, and no, we don't really want to meet them. Also noting that, of course, God didn't create the universe. Interestingly enough, and again, there's no way to sometimes tie these stories into one subject. It's all connected. Everything is illuminated, as the book says. Poll shows Muslims have highest approval rating of Obama and Mormons have the lowest. CBS News reporting Obama not worried about Muslim rumors. Speaking of those other polls where more and more folks believe he's a Muslim, because that's the psyop being run. His background is shady as hell, but he's a covert CIA cutout before he's a Muslim. All in the company, of course, the latest expose getting into Obama and Brzezinski and Business International Corporation, the CIA front, connected to Barry Satoru. But I've been getting stories from the Belief blog on CNN. Author says more teens becoming fake Christians. Feds investigate fire at site of future Tennessee mosque. We get this from CNN as well from KennySideshow.blogspot.com. Arson at Murfreesboro, Tennessee mosque construction site.
News Channel 5 at 10.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Scott Arnold. All right, federal investigators desperately want tips from you, the public, on that overnight fire at a construction site at a brand new mosque. News Channel 5's Brent Frazier was one of the first reporters there today, and Brent, the feds are now involved.
Absolutely, Scott. The ATF, the FBI are assisting the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department. Now, the feds' involvement does strongly suggest this case is being prosecuted as a hate crime. For now, an ATF spokesman is saying simply, it's a fire at the future site of a house of worship.
The neighboring newcomers are witnessing greetings of hot and cold.
Sometimes people are very friendly and they wave to us. Other times they're blowing the horn and giving us a finger.
From the varied to the downright violent.
It's awful. It's a tragedy, and I'm really sorry this happened.
This, Murfreesboro Muslims insist,
this is heartbreaking,
is crossing a line.
The members of the community are very scared. As I mentioned before, it's Ramadan. We try to come together as a community in the evenings to break our fast together. Our attendance level has been very low because people are scared to leave their homes.
Only days after breaking ground, Murfreesboro Muslims are rattled after an intruder with a match.
Somebody threw gasoline on it last night.
A mission
into the engine compartment and set that one on fire.
Maybe even a message. Torched one of the contractor's four pieces of excavating equipment. The scene? The site of the future mosque. Say Muslims who've existed here 20-some years.
Besides being a hate crime, it's such a terrible reflection on what I personally believe is the true feeling of the community, and that's one of diversity and openness.
Jesus! Every knee will bow one day!
Open arms aren't something everyone has for a brand new mosque. With their strong opposition, the site's signs even been destroyed twice. But this takes it to a whole new level, local Muslims proclaim. Spokeswoman Cami Ayash says it's another violent act in which Muslims haven't been the villain.
This is definitely something that we do not deserve.
In her words, they are the victim.
We know no one out there would publicly condone violent opposition, but we do recognize there's another side out there From the outset, plans to build this new mosque have been ferociously contested for reasons like traffic congestion, zoning liabilities, even suggestions that Islam is a political movement disguised as religion. Scott, in response to this incident, a candlelight vigil has been planned for Monday evening at the courthouse on the Murfreesboro Square.
So the anti-Muslim hysteria ratchets up more and more and more, and we're going to get more into that. We're all being played off of each other, as we already discussed. Ground Zero Mosque, connected to Council on Foreign Relations, Fox News, and more. Tear gas sprayed outside funeral that Westboro Church was protesting. That's from KansasCity.com. You know Westboro Church. They of the God Hates Fags protest. Probably the best picture I saw. And again, as long as we're talking about protests, a lot of times, I don't know if this is one of those cases where you want to counter-protest. Like, oh, the Nazi, or oh, the skinhead, oh, the Ku Klux Klan. These groups are so small and marginalized, and as we've already discussed in the history of the 5 years of the website and the 4 years of the radio show, a lot of times these groups are actively run by the feds. KKK groups in Florida being run by the FBI. Again, just different levels of false flag activities. It's usually best not to give it the attention. But I did see a great photo of a counter-protest of the Westboro Church where someone else was holding up a sign that had an arrow pointing over that said, "Fuck this guy." From the Montreal Gazette, new documentary, Scientology, The Truth About a Lie, I think being played at a film festival in Canada currently. And we're going to close out our Holy Hex updates with a real winner. Satanists book the Oklahoma City Civic Center for a blasphemy ritual.
Right now, a local group is planning a satanic exorcism in downtown Oklahoma City. Good evening, I'm Jessica Schambach.
I'm Paul Folger. It is all happening at the Civic Center, and tonight some Christians are outraged. Eyewitness 2 Size Carla Wade talked with the man who organized that event. Carla?
That's right, Paul, we did. The leader of the Church of the Four Majesties says that they've already sold tickets to the satanic ritual, which is scheduled to be held here at the Civic Center in October.
We're exercising the gods of the right-hand path that have caused problems and for generations.
Dressed in all black and surrounded by images and symbols most of us only recognize from scary movies, James Hale explains what will happen inside the Civic Center during what he calls a blasphemy ritual, a parody of a Catholic exorcism. The right-hand path refers to
Christianity, Islam, the religions who believe if you're not with them, then you're going to an evil, naughty place and going to suffer, and you're not worth anything.
Hale is taking an unusual path for many Satanists. He's open about his belief and says the public ritual, which he says is the first ever, will allow people to see for themselves what is usually hidden.
With it being right in the middle of the Bible Belt, we figured keeping everything a secret was not the best idea.
Their desire to try to get their message out, it doesn't surprise me.
Trinity Baptist Church pastor Jeremy Stowe says he doesn't see the ritual as a threat to Christianity, but an opportunity to set an example.
And show the community how we are to engage people who are different than us, and not in protests or crazy rallies, but in shining the light of Christ and loving them just like Christ loves us.
Now, we also spoke to the city about this location, and a spokesperson tells us that the Civic Center is a public building and that the city does not discriminate against anyone who wants to pay to rent it out. Reporting live in downtown Oklahoma City, Carla Wade, Eyewitness News 5.
Okay, Carla, the event takes place October 21st. Tickets are being sold. Invitations have been sent out to some area churches of other denominations.
October 21st, just in time for Halloween. The Satanists at the Oklahoma Convention Center. Buy your tickets now. So again, the bizarre religious culture wars being ratcheted up to an extreme level. That closes out our Holy Hex updates as we glance back at the breaking news again on this September 3rd morning. We just now see reporting of a 7.4 earthquake hitting New Zealand. 7.4 is mighty large. Bombing in Pakistan kills 55. And the story coming out of Vancouver, Oregon, rising, getting larger and larger, and I've seen it reported on the New York Daily News now. Police look for woman in acid attack. Apparently, a woman threw acid on another woman. As the bizarre levels of violence ratchet up, again, we've openly speculated and investigated on the show the sinister forces, the copycat effect, the sort of mass murder contagion. So whether, again, it's black, white, Muslim, Jew, Christian, Protestant, illegal, legal, elite, it's... we're being played against each other, is the simplest way to put it. We have our last several things to go over on this massive news purge. Oh, the chaos is everywhere. On our media memes, HenryMako.com asking the question, does conspiracy extend to the musical scale? This would go into something that we only briefly discussed when we were at the Conspiracy Con back in June, and we had the exclusive interview with Dr. Leonard Horowitz, again, about the 528 frequency versus A440, and it's something I'm extremely interested in. I'm just a little wary, as we should all be about all of this info. Unplugging the Signal, The Truth Will Not Be Televised. Excellent new video. Again, as people unplug their televisions on a larger and larger level. John Cusack calls for the satanic death of Fox News and GOP leaders on his Twitter feed. Again, keeping the satanic, religious, cultural fighting going. And the last question we'll ask in our media memes. Will the release today of the new film Machete spark racial violence? This would be the new exploitation flick from Robert Rodriguez tied in with Grindhouse and Tarantino and the fake trailers that they're making movies for and da-da-da-da-da. But this film is basically about illegals and an underground network and a bad guy played by Robert De Niro who wants to secure the border, and it's essentially about La Raza, the race. As we will get to in just a few moments, predator drones on the border, thousands more agents now going to the border, again, setting the stage for powder kegs looking for sparks. In our Oregon oddities, Oregon couple plead not guilty in the faith-healing death of their infant son. More on that from the Oregonian, as well from our own Oregonian. Again, sometimes these things seem to only come from Portland. Homeless man calls 911 from a hot tub he broke into to say, I just need a hug and a warm cup of hot chocolate.
And one, do you need police, fire, or medical?
This isn't a joke. It's a medical affair. Hey, I'm in the Four Seasons pool over here in off of Murray and Allen, and it's a housing development. And I'm believe it or not, I am the I'm the sheriff of Washington County, and I've been in this hot tub here for, I don't know, at least 10 hours, and I cannot get anybody to stop and let me out and get me. I got no towels or nothing, and
okay.
Send some people to get me out of here, please.
Yeah, wait,
right?
Somebody started that.
For real.
She just
I'm
questions?
Getting sick, and I do not feel good.
Okay.
And
what's going on with you medically?
Medically, I've been yelling for like an hour and a half or 2 hours, and I had a double hernia operation in May, and I'm not supposed to be yelling real loud, man, okay?
Okay.
So I finally got sick of it and decided to get smart and pick up the telephone. No, I did not want to call MMG, but I don't know what else to do, okay?
Okay, no problem. What's your name, sir?
My name is Mark Eskelson, Eskelsen, sir.
Okay, and are you out there by yourself right now?
I am here by myself. People are walking by, they're driving by, but they all seem to be turning to deaf mutes for some reason, okay?
Got it, and so are you, how did you get in there?
I got in there because the Beaverton police let me in here because they were next to me. That's why. And so they decided to leave me in here overnight. So here I am. I'm not really the sheriff of Washington County. And what I really am is a resident, a former resident of Four Seasons, not a resident anymore. Just send somebody. I need some help, man. Okay.
Well, the officers are going to be there real soon. Then, if they're not there just yet, they'll be there pretty quick. So.
No. Well, you're sitting coughing real bad.
You're coughing. So you're sure you don't need any medical help started at this point? You seem
yeah, I'm positive. I just need a hug and a warm cup of hot chocolate with some marshmallows in it. It'd probably be pretty nice. But besides that, I don't think I need any medical help now.
I even lost the end of the clip. I was so entertained by it. There you have it, my friends. Homeless man calls 911 after he broke into a pool, and of course he's not the sheriff. He just wants a hug. That's how we roll. Our last couple notes here on the News Purge. We went through our Oregon oddities, but it's time for our West Virginia worry. Lenders back off environmental risks. I saw this in the New York Times, and this is a good story about basically how the heat is on mountaintop removal, and a lot of the banksters are backing away from it, not from any newfound moral standpoint, but just because the heat's on. And thanks to the fine work of folks like Reverend Billy and the Mountaintop Revival, which, of course, go back into the interview archives for our interview back in April with RevBilly.com. The other West Virginia worry note from ComputerWorld.com, West Virginia's tech workers fight state outsourcing. Oh, the chaos is everywhere, my friends. That is the September 2nd news purge for MediaMonarchy.com. Holy moly. We'll now take this opportunity to tell you that we are into hour number two of this episode 185 for Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato. I am your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. Of course, broadcasting live, as always, Friday morning, 10 a.m. Pacific Time from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, and thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com and RevereRadio.net for broadcasting Media Monarchy Live. So again, welcome to wherever you are in the world. We have a big tent approach here. We are nonpartisan. We know that both sides of the phony left-right political paradigm are completely corrupted and controlled. If you hadn't realized that in 92... maybe you realized it in 2000, and if not then, maybe you realized it in 2008, and now 9, and now 10. As your hopenosis starts to wear off. So as we closed out the news purge by mentioning West Virginia IT workers fighting outsourcing, that makes the perfect segue over to one of my sister sites. It's called cyberspacewar.com. Just a couple quick things we're going to hit there. First, from techdirt.com, corporate news sacrifices WikiLeaks to get shield law. A few weeks ago, TechDirt noted with some disappointment that the politicians who had been pushing for a much-needed federal shield law for journalism, Senators Chuck Schumer and Dianne Feinstein, were taking the political expedient route of adding specific amendment designed to keep WikiLeaks out of the bill's protection. Apparently, a bunch of newspaper folks stepped forward to support that move. Douglas Lee at the First Amendment Center has an opinion piece calling out those people for sacrificing their overall principles just to get the shield law approved. I don't know if that's really necessarily true. You know, when they call people sellouts, it kind of implies that you would have had to have had integrity in the first place. It is the nature of politics today to compromise principles to get things through, but this move seems certainly unfortunate and one that we imagine many news organizations will regret down the road. Corporate media colluding with corporate Democrats to silence any kind of grassroots outlet. Now, of course, in the recent weeks, we've aired some questions, we've had some thoughts, we've wondered about what's going on with WikiLeaks, and especially the Afghan War Diaries, again, connected to the New York Times, the folks who brought us Judith Miller and Weapons of Mass Destruction and the drumbeat for a illegal war on Iraq. But that's over now, right? The latest WikiLeaks release, of course, seems to aid the global war of terror. But let's continue to our other post on cyberspacewar.com. Cyborg, spy school, asteroids. And we're first going to move to technocult.net. Intel developing improved mind-reading computers. The current crop of thought-controlled devices relies on users' imaging movements, or rather, imagining movements, I should say. But according to the Telegraph, Intel is working on technology that will read what words users are thinking. So more on that from the Telegraph. Computers that read minds are being developed by Intel. And of course, they'll test it out with video games, and it'll be really neat. So 1 minute you're Sonic the Hedgehog, and the next minute you're killing brown people with drones in Pakistan. What's the difference? Raw story reporting, Pentagon may apply preemptive warfare policy to the internet. If you've ever listened to this show, you know that they are applying. There's no may about it. They've written about it. They're going to fight the net as if it were an enemy weapon system. Google those phrases. But this is a follow-up to something that we hit last week. Defense official discloses cyber attack. And this would be the article from basically the second in command, Deputy Defense Secretary William J. Lynn III, writing an article for the Council on Foreign Relations, saying how at risk we are from hack attacks. Another follow-up, and none of these are very good. Judge says Pennsylvania district must pay $260,000 in the spying case. That's from the Associated Press. In most cases, we would like those guilty to pay the price. But to make the Pennsylvania school district pay for these teachers who were spying on kids through the webcams and their laptops, that we've been tracking this story on cyberspacewar.com since February. But as we reported for you, I believe just last week, no charges in the Pennsylvania school's webcam spygate. So there aren't going to be any formal charges against the people who took tens of thousands of photos of underage kids at various stages of undress and claimed they were taking drugs when they were eating Mike and Ike's. Again, all this is all publicly available. There will be lawsuits. But this is just saying the judge may make them, you know, pay for court costs, the incidentals. Nothing to see, move along here. Our last note here on cyberspacewar.com goes to the Daily Mail. Our terrifyingly crowded solar system, how the asteroids are closing in. There is an interesting video, but there's nothing for me to play it audio-wise for you. It basically time-lapse through hundreds of years of history to track asteroids, and the one first thing you would say is, holy shit, there's a bunch more asteroids. No, we're just tracking them better now and being able to discover where they are. That's why we call it Cyber Space War, covering the attacks from outer space and inner space as we await the punch in the Facebook. Again, that catalyzing, catastrophic event that will let them shove an I Patriot Act down our face holes. But as long as we're covering my sister sites, let's get the other one, foodworldorder.com, going for well over a year and a half now. And again, covering all of the things going on where, as we always say, don't hate the media, become the media. As we start to realize we can make our own media, we can make our own entertainment, we can also make our own food. Food scandals prompt organic growth in China. This interesting story from foodsafetynews.com. Scandals have helped propel rapid growth in the organic food sector of China's economy, source back to Telegraph. Interest has been promoted by a series of scares, including toxic beans, contaminated milk and pork, pesticide-laced dumplings, chemically tainted chicken, and the growing presence of something known as sewage oil. China now consumes more than twice as much organic food as the health-conscious Japan. The market is worth annual 10 billion yuan, or about 1.5 bill in the U.S. The U.S. organic market is worth about 25 bill annually. Telegraph profiled Shi Lili, 25, who runs an organic store on the internet. Lili said she had seen a huge increase in demand for organic salts, oils, and spices in the wake of all the local food safety scares, especially the most recent revelation that up to 10% of oil used in restaurants is recycled from sewer drains. And I unfortunately have the link for you for that disgusting story from foodsafetynews.com. Food scandals prompt organic growth in China. Our other post on foodworldorder.com is another ugly list of headlines that we call a binge and purge. Control the food, control the people. And we're going to start from Poor Richard's blog, as well as farmwars.info. And these, again, things are all connected. Farmwars.info notes that if you control the food, you control the people, and that's why you must investigate and do research on Codex Alimentarius. But, again, the aforementioned Poor Richards gets into something we've discussed, and that would be the deceptively titled Food Safety and Modernization Act, Senate Bill 510, of course written by and for Monsanto lobbyists that, of course, now have been brought in by the Obamasiah, like Michael Taylor from Monsanto and all the others, covered on foodworldorder.com. Essentially, among the numerous things buried in this poison pill of a bill, 510, Food Safety Modernization Act, essentially, control of food supply to be handed over to, of course, Homeland Security. As we note from the recent stories coming out of California, California being ground zero in a lot of ways for any of our sort of culture wars, police, of course, have been doing guns-drawn raids on organic food stores in California.
Basically, it has been written to prohibit the sale of all kinds of things. You know, you can't sell fresh juices any longer. And they've gotten so involved in this ridiculous stuff that now the real question should be posed. And I was on KFI Radio the other day, and basically the question to be posed is, who is behind it ultimately, and what is the purpose? And these are the kind of questions that need to be posed, because it's not what one club is being rated compared to another one. We have what's called a digital laser-guided temperature gun here that actually looks like somewhat like a gun. My question, which I have not posed to anybody, is let's just say somebody walked out one of our small walk-ins with that, you know, thief at one of these guys with a gun drawn. Maybe, just maybe, the other person would have pulled the trigger. These foods that have now been made illegal, raw goat milk, raw anything, I mean, especially raw products. I mean, you can't go to the Whole Foods and the farmer's market anymore because they're controlled by the health department, and those places can't sell unpasteurized juices, unrefrigerated eggs, they can't sell the rough ceviche, they can't sell, I mean, the list is so ridiculous at this point that we had to form our own private membership club with a membership agreement that basically says, once you pass the table just inside this small little lot that we have, you have to become a private member, taking your health into your own hands. And so, you know, we've protected ourselves on that level, but, you know, there are probably 20 attorneys attached, and mothers and children and professionals and doctors and dentists and, nurses and real estate people, actors and actresses that are all members of Rossum. So the outrage just on the attack of Rossum has been unbelievable. Everybody has stood up and said, no way. Since that point, they've backed off. They've backed off, I think, because they see how much exposure they have created. We only consider this, my friend George, an opportunity to take this information to the masses at this point. So they've actually given us the opportunity to take this to the masses.
Now, that clip's kind of rough, and I apologize for that, but that is a representative of Rossum Foods, of course, the most recent and notorious raw food raid in California. But as we go down the rest of the binge and purge headlines on foodworldorder.com, control the food, control the people, we do, of course, have something to note from naturalnews.com, and those would be the natural health movement's key victories over things like high fructose corn syrup, monosodium glutamate, genetically modified organisms, and more. That, again, as I think I've said on this show, the model, I think, of 9/11 truth has spread to all the other areas of now vaccine truth and money truth and health truth and all of those things. And again, that's what we try and do with alternative, independent, open source media here for you. There's a great clip of the true story of a mom investigating the dangers of U.S. food supply. We grab this from Cryptogon.com, but it sources back even to Amazon. And again, all these things are there for you. Infant formulas contaminated with aluminum. That's from PreventDisease.com. Coal waste contaminates water in 21 states. Almost half of bottled water now comes from tap. Surprise, surprise, studies show organic produce superior to conventional on every level. And our last foodworldorder.com note will be the second. You may recall a couple weeks ago we played the first satirical public service announcement from Barbara Peterson and FarmWars.info. Here is the latest PSA from FarmWars. Got milk?
On June 30th, 2010, federal, state, and local authorities raided Rawson Foods in Venice, California, with guns drawn. The target? Unmarked jugs of raw milk. Yes, raw milk. I am sorry to say that some of you out there are still concerned with your health and have decided to take the matter into your own hands by eating locally harvested raw food. When will you learn that natural foods such as raw milk are illegal because they contain nutrients not artificially inserted by scientific methods? Be safe and don't buy into the natural and organic is good for me scam. Only government-approved, artificially created and genetically modified food is healthy and should be the only food on your table, courtesy of the FDA, USDA, and Monsanto. This public service announcement is brought to you by FarmWars.info.
So there you have it, my friends. Those are the latest headlines from FoodWorldOrder.com. And we still have so much to go over. We're going to have to step up the pace here. As it gets more ridiculous, we move to our police state updates. Recruiting nightmarish hysteria. And we'll open this with another great piece from allgov.com. As again, I'll remind you, we had an interview a couple months back with the editor-in-chief of allgov.com, David Walachinsky, again in the interview archives. Job openings for spies and interrogators. The Obama administration has been criticized by those on the left, which is, of course, the most effective way to criticize a left puppet is from the left, for its continuation of many Bush-era policies on terrorism. But one area where it differs from the previous administration is in its recruiting of spies and interrogators. As it did under Bush, the military's Joint Special Operations Command, JSOC, runs a secretive operation while going after terror threats around the world. But under Obama, JSOC has gone public with its job openings. On the employment website usajobs.opm.gov, JSOC posted notices for intelligence specialist and future operations specialist, among others, although some have since been taken down. The notice for intel specialist warns applicants that the position may be required to deploy on very short notice to potentially high-threat, hostile outside the continental U.S. environments and undergo specific training and immunization requirements as appropriate for OCONUS deployments. JSOC's openness with locating candidates for special access programs, SAPs, and other secretive work has surprised some in the military. Under the Bush administration, we certainly were not advertising in USA Jobs for these types of positions, one military source told Jeremy Scahill, who wrote the book on Blackwater. It blows my mind to see help wanted ads for SAPs and special reconnaissance programs. You've probably now seen when you go to the movies, there's advertising. Join the Central Intelligence Agency. Overthrow democratically elected governments. because they dared try and share resources with the people who lived there instead of opening it up to the corporation. So we have to bring down your government by infiltration and COINTELPRO style false flag activities and disruption. And then we'll soften you up with the military, and then our corporations can come in. And that's how it rolls. ActivistPost.com has an important article on the collapse survival, he calls it. It's going to be tribal. Begin recruiting now. Essentially saying when things start to get uglier, we're going to need to be closer with the people in our community. And that's probably true for all of us, myself, everybody. Now, one of the stories we did cover on the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com, predator drones patrol entire U.S.-Mexico border. 1,500 new agents, 1,200 National Guard, three drones. There were two. There are now three. It now covers the full border with U.S.-Mexico. Setting situations up, again, for some type of catalyzing catastrophic event. More than 3,000 Mexican federal police fired. Now, of course, we discussed the story last week of the 72 dead in the failed state of Mexico. The guy that was investigating that mess, yeah, he's dead. And again, we note the film Machete opens today as we're ratcheting up this border war, race war hysteria. And we're all going to be ripe for the picking because we're all falling for the propaganda and we're all going to want to tear each other apart. Unless we incite a revelation. We'll shift gears from the North American Union to let's get a hat trick of Minority Report style invasive procedures being unveiled at all levels. It's going on with your kids. It's going on with your grandma. It's going on when you fly. It's going on from Chicago to Colorado to San Diego. Body scanners now put in at Lindbergh Field in San Diego.
Okay, so here's the phone in. I'm going to have you face this wall, your feet in the blue boxes, and then I'm going
to... And with that, San Diego's first full-body scanner is ready to capture your intimate image.
Now, you know, hold your hands just above your head, just right here for about 5 seconds.
In a split second, the machine's X-ray beams look beyond your clothes and send the revealing electronic picture to a federal worker inside a secure solitary booth.
It'll take a few seconds for the image operator to review the image, ensure that there's no anomalies, and they will transmit that information to the officer.
When the officer gets the okay, the picture is deleted. The passenger leaves and the next one assumes the position. Unlike metal detectors, these machines can find liquids, powders, and plastics hidden on the body. This is the new landscape of flying. Metal detectors replaced by X-ray eyes.
I think we've gone a little bit absurd. I have nothing to hide from anyone, so it doesn't bother me at all.
You can refuse the full body scan, but if you do, you face a pat down. In other airports with the device, less than 10% of the people make that decision.
Well, so if they opt not to go through that, they will go through the walk-through metal detector, as they do right now, but they will required to go through a pat-down.
To add a level of privacy, the person in the booth never actually sees the passengers, and the officer at the X-ray machine never sees the image.
You know, when you're over 50, you really don't care anymore.
Another PR propaganda piece full of lies that we don't have time to go into. We've already exposed the lies of the body scanners, so at least the pat-down doesn't, you know, disrupt your DNA. So if that doesn't do it for you, let's go to Colorado, where the cops are now using biometric iris scanning technology.
This technology, you can never release the wrong person. The last thing they do on their way out the door is making sure that that iris matches that person.
Fighting crime with brand new biometric technology, the high-tech ID system making its first appearance in Colorado law enforcement. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Ron Zappola.
And I'm Deborah Takahara. The Arapahoe County will be the first agency in Colorado to begin identifying criminals by scanning their eyes.
That's right, Deb. Despite fears of Big Brother from critics, the technology has proven far more reliable than any other ID system. New tonight, Fox 31's Dave Young is live in Arapahoe County with how the analysis works. Dave?
Yeah, Ron, pretty soon when you're booked into jail here, you'll be more than just photographed and fingerprinted. The office here was one of just a handful of more than 3,000 in the country to win part of this federal grant to roll out this new system that definitely puts the I in ID.
This device analyzes a human iris, which has 235 identifying points of reference versus a fingerprint 65. It provides a 12 times more accurate ID.
Fingerprints change, but irises stay stable throughout your life, which is why it's a great biometric to identify somebody with.
Lawton helped develop this new technology. A federal grant allows Arapahoe County to be first in the state to apply it to law enforcement. A deputy helps demonstrate how it works.
He won't tell us who he is. The camera is taking a digital photograph of his eyes. Saturation, the focus, the quality. The camera is talking to him, telling him whether or not he's in range. In 6 seconds, the information has come back that this is who he is.
In government studies so far, with more than 2 million cross matches, there's never been a false positive.
After initial testing, Arapahoe County will share the technology with other law enforcement agencies, sharing criminal inmate ID records.
And particularly after we've done it for a period of time, after a year, we will have upwards of 20,000 inputs into this database.
It'll also be used to track missing kids and seniors.
We see this as the future. This will be the first step when you come in. We'll match your iris to your records, and your records will come up.
A record that's impossible to fake.
Now, eventually, a law enforcement officer will be able to use a smartphone and take a picture of someone's eyes or their face, run it through the system, and within seconds have a positive ID, something right now that can take hours. Thank you.
Dave, thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for the brave new world order. In the third, let's go to Chicago, where they're now tracking kids on the school bus with GPS.
When the card is read in real time, it's delivering back to the school the student's name, first and last name, an exact location, and a time and date stamp. What that allows for is real-time visibility for the children. So it's really picking up in terms of the safety precautions and everything that we want to do in terms of tracking our children out there. There's about 26 districts out there that have taken on this type of technology. Two in the state of Illinois, which we're very proud to say here, in our association with Palos Heights and also with Cook, Illinois, we've implemented here as well.
And for about 3 years, we've been putting GPS technology on our buses to track the buses themselves. But now we're able to track the children, or the school district is able to track the children as they get on and off the school buses. So we're very happy to work with District 128 on doing this, and it's just another safety measure, and we couldn't be happier about it.
The total cost for the installation of all the equipment on 10 of our buses was $16,000. It is a one-time cost for the reader systems and for the ZPS, and we are hoping to recoup probably 50% of that when we submit our claim to the state of Illinois for our transportation reimbursement. It was a very small amount of money that my Board of Education and I felt, a very small cost that would allow us to give an added measure of safety for our children. So we were very willing to invest that money. It's an investment in our children's safety.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children? A brave new world order, indeed. And my friends, as we're now kind of into the last less than a half hour, we're going to have to start to speed it up. And again, like most of these stories, unfortunately, we can't do them the justice that they need. A lot more information is available. So again, as we always say, please do the research for yourself and come back into the cave and tell us about it. CourthouseNews.com reports boss made her a sex slave, Homeland Security worker warns, or rather says. But that would be a warning. And that disturbing story, again, Courthouse News. You can't make this garbage up. That's why this is the greatest show on earth. Most movies and TV shows and things can't compare to what's really going down. Nightmarish hospital visit capped by a beating, accident victim says, again from CourthouseNews.com. Now, you can download this new report from publicintelligence.net, and it's coming straight from Obama Saya's Department of Justice and their new Extremism Terms and Concepts Guide, where they teach federal agents that anything to do with pro-Constitution is bad and you're a terrorist. So that's, again, the theme that runs throughout this fake political paradigm, but what the real agenda is. So whether they say, we're just listening to terrorists, it's not really for you. It's, of course, for everybody. So whether you have uncomfortable questions about 9/11, or whether you have uncomfortable questions about the controlled demolition of the economy and why you lost your home, if you have uncomfortable questions about outsourcing, about the water being poison, the food being poison. If you have any, if you don't like these things, you're going to be seen as an irritant. That's why the, as we've coined, homegrown errorism here is being ratcheted up, and we'll get to the biggie of the week, the discovery shooter, in just a few moments. But of course, what would it be without more arrests in the global war of terror? Two men held on terrorism charges. A United Airlines flight to Amsterdam. It went from, well, I forget. We'll have to get into it. Let's just get the latest scary boogeyman plot.
CNN breaking news.
But we begin with a developing story, breaking news that we're just getting of the arrest of two individuals in Amsterdam shortly after they arrived on a flight from the United States. Brian Todd is working this story for us. Brian, what are we hearing? What are we learning?
Wolf, an official at Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam confirms to us that two men were arrested there today after they received a request from the National Detective Department. They say an investigation is ongoing. They're not giving us any additional details. What we know from an ABC News report is that two men were taken off a Chicago to Amsterdam flight at that airport, charged by Dutch police with, quote, preparation of a terrorist attack. That's ABC News citing law enforcement sources in the United States. Apparently, at least one of them was at least flagged for some bulky clothing, and his baggage was checked in Birmingham, Alabama, where he then flew from there to Chicago. And they, I guess, took a further look at him. And he checked luggage on a flight from Chicago to Washington Dulles with connections to Dubai and then Yemen. This is according to ABC News. But he didn't board that flight himself. Instead, he and another man boarded a flight from Chicago to Amsterdam.
We're going
to
cut that clip short again as we're starting to run out of time. But the speculation is, was this a dry run? Was it not? And I'm sure as the days go by, we'll discover more and more questions, uncomfortable questions about this story. Just the latest terror bust, again, to ratchet up the fear in the phony global war of terror. And of course, it always sparks copycat effect. Miami airport scare caused by metal canister in luggage. More on that from CNN. Miami airport completely evacuated last night as the hysteria ratchets up. But I think to help illustrate what we're talking about here, and this is how we'll close out the police state updates with a story from the New York Daily News. FBI informant in Bronx synagogue bombing plot paid $97,000 by the feds, who then supplied those terror suspects with fake bombs. Informants provocateuring events. False flag terror. That's how it works in the Brave New World Order. And this is what we always inevitably seem to find out about these big terror busts. Of course, everything being ratcheted up since the underpants bomber. The story, of course, completely debunked. He had a well-dressed handler. He was on the terror list, but he didn't go through there anyway. And the safeguards that would have stopped him didn't. Should have, but didn't. It was a drill. Flipped live. When the fire started, he didn't know it. He tried to put out the fire that was going on in his pants. But I digress. Quickly now from The Guardian, and again, this is one of those where it's good news, but it's also not exactly the kind of spokespeople you always want. Sure, we love people of stature to bring up questions about the intelligence networks and the real conspiratorial history of the West. But when it's Ahmadinejad talking about 9/11 truth, not exactly someone you want to say, yeah. Fidel Castro says Osama bin Laden worked for the CIA. Again, this from The Guardian. Fidel Castro has more reason than most to believe conspiracy theories involving dark forces in Washington. After all, the CIA tried to blow his head off with an exploding cigar. So again, even introing the article with, well, this is all totally true, but silly joke. But the aging Cuban revolutionary may have gone too far, for all but the most ardent believer in the reach and competence of America's intelligence agency. He has claimed that Osama bin Laden is in the pay of the CIA and that President George Bush summoned up the al-CIA leader whenever he needed to increase the fear quotient. This article goes on, but basically this is coming from his new meeting with, as we noted in the last couple of weeks, that Fidel Castro was talking about reading The Bilderberg Group by Daniel Estulin. Bilderberg Group, of course, being one of our well-known, now well-known, again, thanks to all the different truth movements and the disclosure from alternative media. One of our little secret society roundtables of multi-generational serial killers. So now he had a meeting with Daniel Estulin. So again, this information is getting out. And in decades past, they could just deny, 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 none of this stuff exists. You're nuts if you even mention it. We've at least forced their hand. Now Bilderberg has a website. Now they're even suing a guy. So we've at least, I think, exposed them. And again, we, in my little small part that I play in this. As we were mentioning, all of the highly suspicious terror events, and again, it's an event, you'll know when it's an event when the corporate media kicks into high gear, and they have breaking news, and they have new graphics, and they have breathless on-the-scene reporting. Police kill gunman who held three at the Discovery Channel. We're going to take this initial report from Newstimes.com, but of course we have more explosive and contextual, subtextual articles linked in coming from Of Goats and Men, and from Cryptogon, and from Wired, and from InfoWars. The real headline for this story should be, Eugenicist took hostages, issued anti-human manifesto, but we'll take it from the mainstream media. A man who railed against the Discovery Channel's environmental programming for years burst into the company's headquarters with at least one explosive device strapped to his body Wednesday, September 1st, and took three people hostage at gunpoint before police shot him to death. The hostages, two Discovery Communications employees and a security guard, were unhurt after the four-hour standoff. Montgomery County Police Chief Thomas Manger said tactical officers moved in after officers monitoring Lee on building security cameras saw him pull up a handgun and pointed at a hostage. An explosive device on the gunman's body detonated when police shot him, Manger said. Police were trying to determine whether two boxes and two backpacks the gunman had also contained explosives. A law enforcement official speaking on condition of anonymity, because the investigation was ongoing, said authorities had identified James J. Lee as the likely suspect. I have not seen anywhere say what... I should clarify that. The first bit of reporting I saw said James J. Lee, J-A-Y. Everywhere else, I've only seen it as J initial, which, of yes, of course, that's like Homer J. Simpson. But he's not on the Discovery Channel. Eugenicist gunman exposes dark side of the Enviro cult. RedDirtReport.com out of Oklahoma City. Environmental activism can lead to madness. But let's get the report on the Discovery Channel eugenicist shooter.
We understand we got a news conference coming up now. Police are walking back to the mics as they've been doing throughout the day. Which means they're getting ready for another.
How are you doing?
Here we go.
In just a few seconds, Chief Manger of the Montgomery County Police Department will make a statement.
Hold on.
With him is the chief from Montgomery County Fire Rescue, Richard Bowers. And also with him is the Montgomery County State's Attorney, John McCarthy. This will be Chief Manger.
At approximately 1 o'clock this afternoon, an Asian male entered the Discovery building in Silver Spring. He had what we believe to be explosive devices strapped to his front and back. He also had a handgun. There are reports that we've not confirmed yet that he did fire a shot when he came in. He took three people hostage near the lobby area of the entrance to the building. Over the past several hours, we have been in negotiations with the man. Approximately 10 minutes ago, the suspect was shot by police officers. The a device appeared to go off. We haven't confirmed that. As of this time, we saw some smoke. May have heard a pop. We haven't confirmed all that information yet. Hostages, there were three hostages. All the hostages are safe and are out of the building. At this point, we are still, it's still an operation. Other suspected devices in the building that have not been rendered safe. And at this point, we are the operation at this point is to make sure that those devices are rendered safe and removed. Again, all the hostages got out safely. I don't believe that there's any injuries, but we will confirm that once we get a chance to talk at more length with the hostages. Again, we also have to clear the rest of the building. Where we could see the suspect, we know is clear, but there's further area in the on the first floor of the building that has not been checked yet. So obviously, this we still have more to do. But at this point, the suspect is in custody. I do not know his condition at this point. And the three hostages that we could see that were near the suspect have been safely removed.
So, as most of these cases go, the initial reporting has the interesting questions in it of multiple devices. Oh, the shooter's in custody. Oh, wait, he's dead. And again, he had posted up a manifesto. This guy was well known, and his protests against the Discovery Channel. His manifesto has been, of course, pulled, but it's also been saved and archived and cached by everybody. Where he, of course, talks about, well, now here's the catch. When you would hear about this latest example of homegrown errorism and a guy going in to Discovery Channel protesting their environmental coverage, you would think that that would, oh, that's a racist Tea Partier saying they're just running that environmental propaganda. No, my friends. This is what you could maybe call an assassin from the left. His protest against the Discovery Channel is that they don't push the eugenics Malthusian agenda enough. We need depopulation. Humanity is a germ, a virus, like they say in The Matrix. His manifesto, again, talks about human parasitic babies and all of those things. So, another suspicious event that I'm sure we'll find out more about. The last thing we'll note on this, great hat tip to ofgoatsandmen.blogspot.com. As I mentioned, this guy was well known in Silver Spring and his one-man lone gunman protests against the Discovery Channel. A video posted up last year is called Mad Money Dash in Silver Spring. It's up on YouTube. Of Goats and Men makes the astute observation then that this is probably the next best thing to Oswald and the anti-communists. Of course, the protest in New Orleans that would garner much, much attention, putting him on the radar. If you don't know that story, you got to investigate that. Quickly, our couple of other related, unrelated murder and mayhem updates. A bizarre story, as seemingly only Cryptogon.com can bring to us. His post has links to CNN, ABC, and the AP, but let's just get the local media take on the story of a 48-foot yacht, worth $1 million, registered to or with the U.S. government, washing ashore in Florida with the engine running, the lights on, and nobody home.
A developing mystery out of Reddington Beach tonight, where the ghost yacht is the talk of the town. The Coast Guard called off its search for a possible missing person after this boat washed ashore with the engine running and no one on board. As Ty Wilson reports, neighbors have their own theories about what really happened.
This 43-foot, $500,000 yacht washed ashore here in Reddington Beach early this afternoon. The Pinellas County Sheriff's Office is trying to figure out who the boat belongs to. Meanwhile, the U.S. Coast Guard sent rescue teams out into the open water looking for any possible missing boater.
Curious people who live along the beach came out to take a look at the yacht for themselves.
The engines were still running, the lights were still going. It was not in gear. The police got aboard and turned the engines off.
According to the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, the yacht is a documented United States vessel registered with the federal government.
Records show at one point the vessel was registered in the state of Florida and Delaware.
We don't see it very often. Well, actually, I've never seen it. I lived here since 1959. I've never seen one this size beached on the water before.
When the yacht came ashore, no one was on the vessel. United States Coast Guard officials sent search teams into the Gulf looking for a possible missing boater. Rescue teams came up empty-handed. A Coast Guard investigator boarded the yacht looking for any possible clues. People could only speculate about what may have happened to anyone who may have been on board the $500,000 Sea Ray named Macon Waves.
I don't know. Nobody's aboard. I don't know if it's a drug runner or not. Who knows? I've heard things like that happening, but I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. And then just, you know, I don't want to say anything bad. And, I, you know, it's hard to say anything good when you see something like that.
A towing company is expected to move this yacht tomorrow afternoon, taking it near the Galata Marina near the Gandy Bridge. Reporting in Reddington Beach, I'm Ty Wilson, ABC Action News.
Or, as just noted in the chat room on ZeroPointRadio.com, it sounds like a case for Crockett and Tubbs. So, interesting story to say the very least. One of the other things to note is that in some of the photographs of the story, and even on some of the video thumbnails that source back to those local media reports, one of the guys pushing the boat has a big Ron Paul t-shirt on, and the logo is on the back. So even though his back's to you and he's pushing on the boat, when you look at this photo, it's like, Ron Paul. Oh, and a boat. So, not bad work there. Our last couple of murder and mayhem, unrelated to the Discovery shooter. Police shoot and kill Spokane preacher. More on that from Q13Fox.com. And our last note comes again from HenryMako.com, but this story is getting coverage worldwide. Winnipeg chief family court judge has been discovered on DarkCavern.com. That would be the black-on-white bondage site. Mayhem indeed, my friends. As we rapidly approach the conclusion of this episode 185. So, see, I didn't do a B-side this week, so it's really tough to get in all the news into a two-hour segment. But we do our best here. As we made brief mention last week, we'll make another mention this week on the fifth anniversary of that catalyzing catastrophic event known as Hurricane Katrina and the somber ceremonies on this fifth anniversary. I do have a flashback for you going back all the way to 2006 on MediaMonarchy.com on the one-year anniversary, Painful Lessons of Hurricane Katrina. But quickly from BuzzTab.com, Katrina left 1,800 people dead and New Orleans virtually underwater, but it was 5 years ago, and now the U.S. is marking the fifth anniversary of the horrible day when Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast. Obama, of course, gave a speech. There's still talk about funding, but if we get some of our related updates below this posting, from the Houston Chronicle, 5 years after Katrina, storm's death toll remains a mystery. Thousands in New Orleans living in abandoned buildings. So put that up to a 50% increase in homelessness in New York. Spike Lee gives America its voice with his latest documentary, the follow-up to his first Katrina documentary, When the Levees Broke. Now Spike Lee has made, I believe, If the Good Lord's Willin' and the Creek Don't Rise, something like that, a paraphrase on that old saying. And our last note here, Obama signed a disaster declaration for North Carolina as Hurricane Earl approached. Now, that was from yesterday, and as we look to Google News right now, we see as far as our weather wars updates go, of course, as we already noted, strong 7.4 earthquake just hit New Zealand. There seems to be no mention of our most recent hurricane. But quickly now, my friends, we of course had the amazing speech this last week from the Obamasiah. No, he didn't say mission accomplished. He said turn the page. Now, I listened to Council on Foreign Relations podcast. It's always good to listen to what the foundation-funded, intel-connected, media, mighty Wurlitzers are saying. They were speculating before this speech because the yes, he was going to give a speech, but they weren't saying exactly where. They were speculating he may actually go to Iraq and do the speech. Fortunately for all of us, he didn't do that and just gave a stumbly speech from the Oval Office. However, Ray McGovern writes what Obama won't say on consortiumnews.com, and Juan Cole does the same thing on juancole.com, where we'll quickly note, again, this is the speech he should have given. Fellow Americans and Iraqis who are watching this speech, I've come here this evening not to declare a victory or to mourn a defeat on the battlefield, but to apologize from the bottom of my heart for a series of illegal actions and grossly incompetent policies pursued by the government of the United States of America in defiance of domestic U.S. law, international treaty obligations, and both American and Iraqi public opinion. We cannot undo what has been done. We cannot pretend that the U.S. did not violate the U.N. Charter and the Geneva Convention, but we can make amends. We can seek redemption as a nation, and our salvation lies in forswearing permanent war, aggressive war, undeclared war, and police actions as a way of life. The speech Obama-Saya should have given, instead of saying, we've turned the page, and even patting, heck of a job, Bushy, on the back. Of course, no investigations into torture, no investigations into the lies into the lead-up of the war, no investigations into the blank check of the official story of 9/11 that now, 8 years and 51 weeks later, we're still dealing with and still hiding from, and it's still the elephant in the room. You want to end war? 9/11 Truth ends war. Quickly, all our related Obama-Saya and war whores updates, an ugly list of headlines, and again, I'll say it again and again and again, do the research for yourself. I've done the sifting. I've put it together for you. I hope it makes sense contextually. And again, it's the shell game. Ron Paul has a message for the Tea Party. As we have said here for the last several months, you're being taken for a ride. Tea Party, what essentially was a Ron Paul pro-personal liberty movement, among all those other things, co-opted, misdirected, as shown by last weekend's creepy cult revival at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington District of Criminals by Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin. More on that from InfoWars and the New York Times. CBS News reported the rally attracted 87,000 people, Beck positioning him as new leader for Christian conservatives. NewsJunkiePost.com notes, is Glenn Beck a master politician or master baiter? As in the baiting of the foolish masses. Tom Hartman is on Russia Today talking about the neocons infesting and resurfacing in the Obama administration. Again, no surprise. If you follow the connections back, it goes to the same organizations. We'll note, my home state of West Virginia, it's going to be, of course, ex-Governor Joe Manchin facing off against Republican Reese for the Senate seat, of course, vacated by the late Robert Byrd. Chris Floyd has a great piece on the taste of hope and change and progressive sensitivity in the U.S. concentration camps. Of course, all the great things we're affording our prisoners in these concentration camps worldwide. Again, we'll pull away some troops, but we still will spend billions on bases. We ain't going anywhere. Military subcontractors bribing U.S. personnel with prostitutes. The shady world of war contracting in Afghan Iraq. More on that from Alternet. 17 Fort Carson soldiers charged in domestic killings since they returned home from the meat grinder. Fleet and Family Readiness Center plays vital role in Citadel Rumble 2010. Again, more desensitizing terror drills being run. Joy and tears greet U.S. Army troops back from Iraq. Of course, yes, there's some back from Iraq. Meanwhile, U.S. wasted billions rebuilding in Iraq. Or wasted billions in rebuilding Iraq. That's from the Washington Post. Iran says continued presence of U.S. troops in Iraq unacceptable. The latest piece from William Blum, author of KillingHope.org, things the media and the government don't let go of, and neither do I. And he's, of course, again referring to the lies leading us to these endless illegal wars of aggression. Afghan militants in U.S. uniforms storm two NATO bases. That's a false flag attack. Afghanistan bomb attacks kill 21 U.S. soldiers in 48 hours. And for the first time ever in the Afghan-Iraq wars, a U.S. military chaplain is killed. File that under our holy hexes. And our last note that puts the lie to all of this bullshit from the left and the right. U.S. escalates air war over Afghanistan. That should tell you all you need to know about the change agenda. That's all I got for you, my friends. No more time. I wish I had more time to go into these stories, and again, I appreciate all of you out there who get this, who spread it, who help share information. None of us can do it alone, myself especially. You can get in touch with me, MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. We'll make a quick note of some of the creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. Just two, we had Microchip Technology out of Chandler, Arizona, and, of course, the headquarters USAISC out of Davenport, Iowa. But the good note is they were checking out the latest mixtape from MediaMonarchy.com. And so should you, and you should also watch CorbettReport.com this weekend for his amazing 9/11 anniversary episode. And it is, of course, Labor Day weekend, and as we, again, see all of these things ratcheting up, just be wary, be aware, don't fly off the handle, but be keen and astute, and be media literate about what you see going on in the world. And we can't hide, and we have to be out more. My friends, it's September 3rd, 2010. This has been the 185th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, reminding you, don't hate the media, become the media. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRAradio.org, the New World Nexus video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165. Portland, Oregon, 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.